This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last night from the Oval Office, President Bush outlined proposals to change the country's immigration laws. He embraced the guest worker and earned citizenship proposals being discussed in Congress, but most attention focused on the border. The president called for an additional 6,000 National Guard troops to provide temporary help until more Border Patrol officers can be hired and trained. The Guard would not take an active part in law enforcement, he said, but provide logistical support. It would not be the first time that the National Guard was deployed to help seal the border, but even so, the speech received a lukewarm response on Capitol Hill. Some lawmakers, especially Democrats, warned of the militarization of the border. Others, including some Republicans, said the number of troops wasn't nearly enough to do the job. There was a mixed response from border state governors as well, generally positive in Texas and Arizona, not so good in California and New Mexico. We'll get reaction from the border, from Congress, from Mexico, and from you. Later in the program, cliffhanger, check, murder mystery, check. How do you write a season finale? But first, immigration and the border. If you have questions about the president's plan, if you live near the border, if you're a Border Patrol agent or an immigrant, will this work on the border? Will it work on Capitol Hill? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And we begin with Senator Jeff Bingaman, a Democrat from New Mexico, who's with us from his office on here in Washington, D.C. And it's nice to have you on Talk of the Nation, Senator.
Nice to be with you, Neil.
In your mind, does the addition of 6,000 or so more National Guard troops help the situation on the border?
Well, it can help. Obviously, I would have preferred if we had gone ahead and increased the number of Border Patrol agents as we intended to. We passed a law, and the president signed it in 2004, that called for 2,000 additional Border Patrol agents to be added each year for 5 years. If we had been on the track to do that, I don't think we would have had such a need for National Guard to come in and assist. But considering where we are, I support the decision the president's made to go ahead and bring those National Guard people in to provide assistance to the Border Patrol.
As you certainly know, the immigration bill is now up for debate in the United States Senate. And earlier today, Senator Johnny Isaacson, Republican of Georgia, got a vote on his proposal that called for the borders to be secured before addressing any other immigration-related issues. As it turned out, that measure was defeated by 55 votes to, I think, 44. And I wonder what you read into the political lessons from that first vote on immigration in the Senate.
Well, I thought that vote was an indication that most of the Senate agrees with the president's position as he articulated it last night, and that is that we should try to do a comprehensive bill, and we should not be setting up something that says, you know, we've got to complete all of the border security effort before we can do anything else with regard to the immigration problem. I think most people did not think that was a good approach. That's sort of the House has taken the position that all they want to deal with is border security, essentially, and that until that problem's solved, they don't want to concern themselves with immigration more generally. And I think the Senate has rejected that view.
Another interesting thing about that vote, most Democrats voted against the Isaacson bill. Most Republicans voted for it.
Well, I do think that the president, of course, has a difficult problem with his own party in trying to move the Congress and the country in the direction that he talked about last night. I think his desire to get a comprehensive solution to the immigration problem and illegal immigration is not shared by his entire party, and I think the most vocal critics of his position that I've heard, at least today, have been those of his own party.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be hearing from one of those critics a little bit later in the program. But let me ask you another question. The president hopes to have a bill on his desk by Memorial Day. Do you think that's feasible?
No, that's not feasible. I hope that we have a bill through the Senate by Memorial Day. That's what we're trying to accomplish here is to take amendments this week and then again next week and conclude Senate action on a bill. But there's a vast difference between what we would possibly pass here in the Senate and what the House of Representatives passed several months ago. So I think it's not in any way realistic to think that those two bills could be reconciled, if there is a Senate bill passed, that it could be reconciled with a House bill that quickly.
At this point, would you say that the odds of getting a bill to the president are better than 50-50 or worse?
Well, it's hard to know. Obviously, the first threshold challenge is to pass a bill through the Senate. And I think at the end of next week, we'll know whether or not that's been accomplished. And then I still think if we're able to pass a bill through the Senate, the heavy lifting will still be involved with trying to reconcile the House position and the Senate position. And I'm not too optimistic that that can be done.
And finally, Senator Bingaman, some, as you know, have worried that the use of National Guard troops in this circumstance, even temporarily, militarizes the border unnecessarily. Do you regard that as a problem?
I don't myself. I think, the National Guard has been involved, particularly in my state, in assisting the Border Patrol in various capacities. And as I understand what the president's proposing, he wants to have additional National Guard doing the same kind of thing on all parts of the border. I think that that's an appropriate role, and the law enforcement responsibility will be with the Border Patrol itself. And so I don't see this as a militarization of the border.
Senator Bingaman, thanks very much. Appreciate your time today.
Nice talking to you.
Jeff Bingaman, a Democrat from New Mexico, joined us by phone from his office here in Washington, D.C. A little bit later in the program, we'll hear from a Republican Congressman, Steve King. But first, to get reaction from the border itself, we turn now to San Diego. Leslie Berenstein is an immigration reporter for the San Diego Tribune. She joins us now by phone from her office. Thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
I know you've spoken to a number of Border Patrol agents in your area about the president's call for 6,000 additional National Guard troops. What's their response?
A shrug, basically, is what I met with yesterday. While everybody welcomes having extra hands, these aren't, and as the president made fairly clear in his speech yesterday, these aren't going to be National Guard troops that are stationed along the border in any sort of law enforcement role. They're going to be basically doing support roles, which, according to some members of the Border Patrol Union, could free up some agents to be on the line, but then there are already very few agents who are assigned specifically to support roles. So it's, they're just kind of greeting it with a,
mm-hmm.
and looking at it as more of a political move, really.
Well, Leslie Berenstein, any reaction from the National Guard?
The National Guard spokesman was not available yesterday, so I could not talk to him.
Hmm.
But I'd like to. I'm hoping to in the next day or two.
Well, maybe he's listening. Maybe he'll give you a call. I understand eastern San Diego County is a significant entry point for illegal immigrants. Obviously, that affects the area pretty seriously.
It does. And actually, there has been an uptick recently, last year, and especially this year, in traffic through that area. As pressure has been applied in Arizona, naturally, the smuggling traffic moves to the west and the east of there. And as you recall, San Diego was once the main funnel for illegal immigration traffic moving north. And after Operation Gatekeeper went into effect in 1994, that began moving east. Now, with the pressure in Arizona, it's kind of spreading all over the place. And you've seen this return of traffic through eastern San Diego County, where people, they get people crossing right through their yard, pretty much. A lot of people who live on the border out in these rural areas like Campo and Boulevard. So I called some of them last night, and I was actually a little bit surprised by the skepticism there as well. I mean, these are some people who, some of them have even welcomed some of these civilian border watch groups to set up on their property, because they'll do anything, I guess, to stop these people from coming through. And that this was also kind of met with a shrug, too. I mean, maybe it could help a little bit, but they realize that it's not going to be, what some of them, were hoping for, which was just, a lot more people on the border.
Mm.
It's being seen as a political move by some of them as well.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Allison's calling from San Diego.
I just wanted to make the comment, I don't think it's that big of a deal to have a National Guard when you have the Coast Guard patrolling our borders as well. So what is the difference? And I personally am glad, and I wish the National Guard would actually take a more involved role, not just the one that the president said yesterday.
Well, as I understand, the difference is that there's a Posse Comitatus Act, which prevents the U.S. military forces from acting in a law enforcement capacity within the borders of the United States. Of course, if you're on the in San Diego, you're on the U.S. side of the border. To be fair, Leslie Beristein, there are people who are concerned that troops are trained to treat those they oppose as enemies, and this might lead to incidents inevitably.
Well, as you recall, there was an incident in 1997 with some Marines who were actually based out of Camp Pendleton in San Diego County, who wound up shooting a goat herder, a local man who was a goat herder in Redford, Texas, I believe. They thought that he was shooting at them. You know, the argument from the family is that he was trying to protect his goats because he thought somebody was trying to scare the animals. And he wound up dead, and that suspended that operation. Mm-hmm. After that in Texas and New Mexico. So there's that concern. And there's also, you know, one of the things that I'm getting here from, especially some of the people that were involved in some of these pro-immigrant marches recently that we had, is, you know, in general, the kind of image, the kind of message that it sends, basically, you know, is that, you know, we dislike our southern neighbors so much that we need to have military on the border. And as to whether that's the message that the White House is trying to send out, you know, I don't think so. But this is the perception that some people fear could be created.
Allison, I can give you 30 seconds.
I my husband's in the military, and I'm a big supporter of them, and I just feel like, you know, if it's a serious problem, it needs a serious resolution, and if this is scaring people, then maybe that's what needs to happen for the time being.
Allison, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. We're talking about President Bush's plan to secure the border and give illegal immigrants a path to citizenship. When we come back from a short break, we'll take more of your calls. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. We'll also be getting reaction from the other side of the border, from Mexico City. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. President Bush spoke from the Oval Office last night to lay out his plan to deal with illegal immigration. He wants to deploy National Guard troops to secure the U.S.-Mexico border. He also called on Congress to pass an immigration bill, including a guest worker provision. NPR's Ron Elving provides analysis of the immigration debate and the Bush plan for the border in his Watching Washington column at npr.org. Our guest is Leslie Beristein, an immigration reporter for the San Diego Tribune. If you have questions about the president's plan, if you're near the border, if you're a border patrol agent or an immigrant, give us a call. Is this going to work? 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And Leslie, just to remind people, this would not be the first time that the National Guard would be deployed to the border.
No, it would not be the first time. They've actually been involved in all sorts of tasks on the border for years. And just locally, I mean, just in this, along the Southern California border region, they've been involved since the late 80s in, you know, anti-drug surveillance. They've constructed portions of the border fence. They've constructed access roads. Nationwide, the Guard was called out after September 11th, I believe it was in early 2002, to assist with customs inspectors at the ports of entry. So this is not entirely new. I mean, they have always been in this support role. Even the individuals who were involved, the guard troops who were involved in the late 80s and 90s doing counter-drug surveillance, although they were armed, they were not allowed to make arrests because of Posse Comitatus. But yes, they have been involved for years.
And we should point out that some of the governors of the border states say, well, look, we need National Guards in the summertime to help with forest fires. I believe Governor Schwarzenegger pointed out that several California National Guard units are in Iraq. And a lot of people worry that this would stretch the National Guard even more than it's stretched already.
Correct, and that has been a concern. I can imagine that compared to Iraq, being on the border would be a relative vacation for some of these troops, but at the same time, it's no picnic, especially now during the summer months, and especially if they're going to be out in some of, at least along the California border, along the desert. It's it's very hard work. However, you know, it depends on what they're going to be doing. If they're not going to be on the line with the Border Patrol, they're going to be doing support work. You know, that's not really quite. They're not going to be sitting on an X like the Border Patrol is going to be doing. But there is a concern that this is going to be taking people away from the families for long periods of time, for what some people, including members of the Border Patrol unions, criticize as a politically motivated move.
Our neighbor to the south, Mexico, has an obvious interest in U.S. policies on immigration. Joining us now to talk about that country's reaction to last night's address is Denise Dresser, a professor of political science at the Instituto Tecnológico Autónomo de México. She's with us by phone from her office in Mexico City. Nice to have you on the program again.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with Mexican government. Has President Vicente Fox issued a formal response to President Bush's speech last night?
Well, he has yet to do so, although the Minister of Foreign Affairs has come out and tried to craft a careful message whereby the Mexican government expresses concern and yet at the same time frames this in what could be advances in terms of the debate on immigration in the United States. What's more interesting, perhaps, though, is to see how this decision fits into electoral politics in Mexico, with the different candidates assuming positions either in favor or against what's happening as a way of strengthening their own political fortunes in Mexico, playing the anti-U.S. card, for example, the case of the PRI's candidate, the party of the Institutional Revolution candidate Roberto Madrazo, and his party has come out vehemently in criticism of what's happening in the United States.
And President Fox himself at least used to tout his closeness with Governor Bush, a former Governor Bush, now President Bush, and this can't be good for him.
An immigration reform in the United States, in whatever guise it took, would be viewed by the Fox administration as a success for something that this government has pushed time and again, even before September 11th. And Fox would like to capitalize on that politically and trumpet it as something that he was able to push, regardless of the fact that the discussion now is an entirely domestic one in the United States. But it's a feather that he definitely liked to put in his cap, and that his candidate, the National Action Party's candidate, Felipe Calderon, would also like to wave as something that a PAN government has been able to produce.
Public opinion, how are the papers playing this today?
It depends. More sophisticated views of certain columnists reflect an understanding of domestic politics in the U.S. and how they probably were behind this current move. The more sophisticated columnists call attention to the fact that George Bush seems to be playing to the hard base of his party by strengthening border security, at the same time hoping to produce some movement on immigration reform in terms of a guest worker agreement or some sort of limited and earned legalization. The same histrionic voices that continue to surface in Mexico time and again are there in this debate as well. Reflexive anti-Americanism that seems to be more centered among certain political elites than among the population at large, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Americans tend to find some things in Mexican politics confusing. I suspect it's true the other way around. But let me ask you, President Fox has described those who cross into the United States illegally as heroes. This is calling people who are leaving your country illegally heroes. Puzzling.
We Mexicans live with many masks and with many levels of hypocrisy, and I think that this is one of them, because it was interesting to witness Mexicans celebrating the marches of their compatriots on U.S. soil, of people who essentially were sending the message that they were willing to fight for their rights and to remain in the United States, when we shouldn't be celebrating. As a country, we should be lamenting the fact that we are unable to provide opportunities to hundreds of thousands of Mexicans who cross the border in search of things they can't find at home.
Denise Dresser, thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Denise Dresser, a professor of political science at the Instituto Tecnológico Autónomo de México. She joined us by phone from her office in Mexico City. Still with us is Leslie Beristein, the immigration reporter for the San Diego Tribune. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Brian. Brian in northern Florida.
Yes. The reason I was calling in is I'm a law enforcement officer in the northern part of Florida, and I just wanted to voice my unhappiness or discouragement that local government actually discourages local law enforcement from assisting or helping in dealing with illegal immigration. It's they let it be known that it's not your job. Do not even attempt it. If you do, you face ridicule, and possibly getting in trouble. Even though it may be unofficial, you still face getting in trouble and penalized some way. That's my comment.
Okay. Thanks very much, Brian. Leslie Bearstein, Northern Florida is hardly alone in this.
No. In fact, this is a policy of the San Diego Police Department. They take an active policy where they do not enforce immigration laws. And the official policy is that they just do not want to create a fear of authority, a fear of police in these communities, because they say that it can interfere with investigations. We have, for example, in northern San Diego County, there are several encampments of homeless migrant workers, not all of whom are here illegally, but many are. And they get victimized quite a bit. They get robbed. People know that they take their money home and they bury it or something. They're living in tents and canyons pretty much. And the police department actually has a liaison that works with them. And I've spoken to this liaison often, and he's mentioned incidents, for example, not that long ago, a few of them were picked up by somebody pretending to hire them for day labor, who was a thief, and wound up taking their money and then just sort of dumping them. So this kind of stuff happens, and this is why the police department here has this policy. They say that it could interfere with all kinds of investigations, people just not wanting to step forward because they're afraid. They don't want to get deported. So this is their rationale.
Now, reasons for it, but obviously might puzzle some people in other countries that local police departments decide to enforce some laws, but again, not others. Anyway, that's federal law, not local law. Let's get another listener on the line. This is Juan calling us from Greenville, North Carolina.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just calling because my comment is that American government wants all the people that are trying to come legal to this country, giving them a long time waiting in their country.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came here with a tourist visa because I was waiting for 5 years to get a visa, a working visa. So the thing that it was easier for me was to get a tourist visa. And then how the guest worker permit or whatever they are going to issue, or if they do, is going to help to make the process faster.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, I'm afraid our ability to help Juan is limited since the Senate has yet to pass a bill and much less reach a reconciliation with the House of Representatives bill, which doesn't even cover this subject,
right.
Much less send it to the president's desk. But broadly speaking, as far as I understand, the proposals would make a distinction between those who came within the last 2 years and those who have been here 5 years and longer.
As far as I understand, exactly, that and the president said it, in fact, in his speech, that the people that are able to legalize, if in fact this legislation that he's hoping is passed and becomes law, would have to stand in line with everybody else. The word is that they're not going to be fast tracked. I know that there have been lots of people that have been in line that have become very angry now that this legislation is being considered, because they think that, wait a minute, we did it the right way. These people are going to be put ahead of us. That's not the plan, as I understand it. It is to allow them to legalize and allow them to apply for citizenship and then get in line with everybody else. But none of this is law yet, so we just have to wait and see what happens.
And Juan, let me just ask you, if there was a plan that allowed you to, that worked reasonably well and allowed you to go back to your country and apply for a working visa and do this all legally, is that what you would do?
Yeah, I sure will.
All right, Juan, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now is another voice from Congress. Steve King is a Republican from Iowa, member of the House Subcommittee on Immigration, Border Security, and Claims. He joins us now by phone from his office here in Washington, D.C. And Congressman, nice to have you on the program today.
I'm glad to be aboard. Thank you.
You've been very outspoken about the need to tighten up the border. Are you satisfied with what you heard from the president last night?
Well, no, I'm not satisfied. I guess if I don't think he went far enough with what he proposed to do, but it's hard to also accept the idea that he's really serious about following through on the enforcement that's pledged. And President Bush, I stand with him on a lot of issues, but on this one, I have pleaded with him for 5.5 years to enforce our borders. And I went back and reviewed a letter that I had sent to him 2.5 years ago that ended up in an intense debate and conversation about what happens if you grant amnesty. And at that point, the debate was, what is amnesty? And the argument then was, what if they pay a fine and learn English?
Mm-hmm.
Is it still amnesty? Well, of course it is. And we're still at that point. And I've been down on the border a number of times, but the last time was just a little over a week ago for 4 days. And I am convinced that there's no way to seal the border without building a solid barrier. And what I have in mind is a concrete wall. And then our Border Patrol can be effective. Without that, they'll just infiltrate in every direction all night long, as they do today.
We're talking today about the president's proposals on immigration, how they'll play down on the border and in Congress. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Congressman, there are other parts of the president's plan beyond the border part, as you've been sort of talking about. There's the earned citizenship proposals and the guest worker program. So at this point, you think we need to focus on the border itself before getting to those issues?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the president's argument is that you can't have border security without a guest worker plan. And I would argue that as long as you write a broad enough and loose enough guest worker plan, you don't have to worry about about border security, because there will be no border. I think that we must do enforcement first. In 1986, there was an amnesty plan that was passed called Simpson-Mazzoli, and it was sold with the idea that there were 1 million illegals in America that would get amnesty, and they called it amnesty, and then we would enforce, and that's the only way that we could ever have a legitimate plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be more than 3 million people. And it was not enforced. They started out that way, and the enforcement declined to the point of almost no enforcement today. And now we've gone from 3 million illegals to maybe 12 to 20 million or even more illegals in America.
Let me ask you a political hypothetical. If a bill emerges from the Senate that looks more or less like what the president described last night, do you think you can reach reconciliation with the House bill, which is enforcement only?
Myself, I'll not be able to reach reconciliation with a policy that is amnesty or one that opens up our border for tens of millions of people. And whether the rest of the House members would buy that or not, I don't know. What I see happening really is that I think the full force of the Senate and the conference committee that would come from there, and Harry Reid has approved of 19 of the 26 names
mm-hmm.
that will be on that conference committee. The White House has, the president has said that he's going to use his leverage on the conference committee. So that means that the Senate and the White House, with all the forces they have, and the Democrats in the House, will be squeezing Republicans in the House who have passed the enforcement language over to the Senate, and be squeezing all of us to accept the idea of guest worker, temporary worker. And they'll be ignoring the facts that are a part of Hagel-Martinez.
Hmm. Let's see if we can get one more caller in before we have to go. This is Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos calling from Moultrie, Georgia.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a comment about the border. I guess it's a pretty good idea that our president come up with to protect the border. I guess it's pretty good because most of the people use the border kidnapping people, you know, bring illegal drugs and stuff like that. So I guess it's a pretty good idea what he's trying to do. You know, many people see the border just to come they only think that immigrant people come to this country, but I mean, many people use the border to bring bad stuff to our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's a pretty good idea to me.
And Congressman King, some people pointed out, could be used by terrorists as well.
Well, I look at the crossings that are going on down there now, and I want to make it clear. You know, I supported NAFTA. I'm for free trade with Mexico. I think a lot needs to be done in Mexico to improve the country down there. That's where the problem is, not here in the United States, obviously. And yet the drugs coming into the United States from Mexico, 90% of the illegal drugs in America come across the border, according to our federal government. And that is $60 billion worth of illegal drugs. And another $20 billion are wired back or sent back across the border from people working here, many of them temporarily working here. There's $80 billion in Mexico's economy that wouldn't be there otherwise. And that's the force of that $80 billion are pushing people and illegal drugs and the drug cartel of people across the border into the United States. So it is a powerful force, and I don't know, to stop that tide, I don't think we can do it with another 6,000 people on the border in the form of our National Guard.
Juan Carlos, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us today.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Steve King, a Republican from Iowa, with us from Capitol Hill. We also want to say thanks to Leslie Beristein, who reports on immigration for the San Diego Union. Appreciate you being with us today.
You're welcome.
She joined us from her office in San Diego. When we come back from a short break, it's a murder mystery cliffhanger time on TV. How do you write a good season finale? It's the talk of the nation. This is NPR News.